We're in the second week of a message series on the topic of faith. Last week we talked about some basics of faith, that to have a strong and vital faith, you have to have a sure foundation for that faith, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And then you build on that faith and make it stronger by reading scripture, praying, being in worship, spending time with God. And then you make it alive and vital by acting on what you read in Scripture and hear from God. This week we're going to build on that and talk about a faith that endures. So if you want to turn with me to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at that chapter that I encouraged you to read during the week this last week. And it's sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame. And it starts with the definition of faith. It's our memory verse this week, so let's read it together. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then the writer goes on and says, this is what the ancients were commended for. This is what the heroes of faith were commended for. They weren't commended by God for their great strength or their military prowess or their great wisdom. They weren't commended for their looks or their popularity or their wealth. They were commended for their faith. And as you look at the rest of the chapter, the letter of Hebrews, goes on to list some of the ancients that were commended for their faith. In verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, build an ark to save his family. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And then it goes on in the verses that follow. The writer talks about the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and Moses and the people who passed through the Red Sea and those who saw the walls of Jericho come tumbling down and Rahab who hid the spies. And all of these and many more that you find in the following verses who were commended for their faith. They had faith that endured. So what was it about their faith that was commendable? What was it? What does it take to have a faith that endures? If you want to pull out your message notes, we're going to look at three actions to build a faith that endures. And the first is faith that endures is faith that depends on God's strength, not our own. If you think about faith, inherent in the very idea of faith is weakness. There is something that needs to be changed or to be fixed, something that isn't that ought to be, and we long for the repair, but we can't bring it about ourselves. We do not have the power to fix it, or we would. There is weakness inherent in faith. We find an important spiritual principle right in this passage of Scripture, this list of the great heroes of the faith. And the writer summarizes this principle in five words that are found in Hebrews 11:34. And we'll have to back up a little bit in order to read it in its context, but here's what the writer says. And what more shall I say? All right, he's already listed all of these people of faith. He says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Japheth, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, whose weakness was turned to strength. The heroes of the faith weren't relying on their own strength. In fact, many of them had to overcome great weaknesses by relying on God's strength. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Their weakness was their age, right? They were totally incapable of creating a child without divine intervention at their age. David was just a boy when he took on Goliath. Gideon was hiding in a wine press when God called him a man of valor. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den without any lion-taming training or a chair or a whip. And when the Israelites stood before the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them, their only hope was that God would come through. But that was their strength. Their weakness was an opportunity to allow God to be strong. The Apostle Paul recognized this principle, and he writes about it in the letter to the Corinthians. He says, "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" In the coming week, I would encourage you to take some time to reflect on your life and ask some questions. You know, am I saying no to God's leading because I'm afraid, or I don't believe that I can do it? Do I limit God's activity in my life by saying yes to things that I can do in my own strength? Am I walking by faith in my current circumstances? A great verse for everyone to have tucked away in your memory bank is Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do everything, all things, through Christ who gives me the strength. A faith that endures is a faith that relies on God's strength. Then the second essential to a faith that endures is a faith that's willing to wait on God. Faith requires that we wait, right? For what we don't yet have. If we had it, we wouldn't need to continue to hope for it. But we don't have it. So, by faith, we wait until the day when we will. And this isn't just true for us. This was true for the heroes of the faith as well. Hebrews 6:15 says, "Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised." How long did he wait? 30 years, okay? That's a little bit of a wait. 30 years. And the Hebrew people that passed through the Red Sea and experienced this great moment in history waited 400 years in slavery before God parted the waters. Faith often requires that we wait on God. And there's this passage in Ecclesiastes, pretty well-known passage, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. I'm going to put the whole thing up. I'm just going to read the beginning of it. But it says, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance," and it goes on like that. There's a season for everything. And the good news is if you're in a season right now where faith is hard, another season is coming. And Paul says in Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart." In due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. In due season there'll be a reward. So we aren't supposed to get stuck in a season of mourning, get stuck in a season of tearing down or searching or bitterness. There's a time to let go and move on into a new season. How many of you play softball? Or used to play softball? Used to. I used to play softball. I was on three different leagues, and three different teams in three different leagues at one point. And on occasion, this never happened to me, and probably never happened to you either, but someone would go 0 for 3 or 0 for 4. And even though they were having a lousy game, what would you say to them when they came up to play? No. You would encourage them, and the team would yell out to them when they came up to the plate, "Come on, Peggy." You know, I'm just inserting my name here hypothetically. "Come on, Peggy, get a hit. You're due, right? You're due." And I'm here to encourage you today. Some of you are just starting the season and you have a race ahead of you to endure, but many of you are in your due for your due season. Ecclesiastes says that there's a season for everything. Yes, there's a season for tearing down, a time for weeping and scattering, but there's also a season to build and to laugh and to dance and to mend. So don't give up, because there's the season for everything, and your due season for rebuilding, for mending, for healing is right around the corner. Some of you may have came into the church today with your head kind of hung down and you're just about to give up or lose faith. I'm encouraging you to keep faith. Hold on, be patient. God is faithful. God will come through. Give him praise, bless his name, and tell him, "I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on." Like the heroes of the faith who went before us, God can give you the strength to persevere while you're waiting. Faith that endures waits on God. And then number three, a faith that endures is faith that perseveres through trials and doesn't lose hope. Faith is resilient. Faith never gives up hope. Hebrews 12, which comes right after this hall of faith, hall of fame, gives us the verse that reminds us who our hope is in. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this great group of faith-filled people, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. Our faith is always placed in something, right? You might place it in yourself. It might be placed in some ideology. Your faith can be placed in your checking account. But Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the only one true, trustworthy source of faith. He is our hope. He's the ground of our faith. He's the author of life. He's the one that holds everything together when our strength is weak. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He's the rock on which we stand, the champion of our faith, the groundswell of our being. Jesus is the one we trust to make up the difference between our weakness and our need. It's Jesus' story and Jesus' vision and promise of what can be and will be that is worth holding on to and worth holding out for. If you do a word study on the Greek word of faith, the definition of faith is to persuade, to be persuaded. And that's the core meaning of faith. Faith is persuasion. And I'm here to tell you today, God is the divine persuader. He is the divine persuader. Do you have difficulties in your life? We all do. So did the heroes of the faith. We all have trials. We all have weaknesses. But we have hope, because the divine persuader has sent his son Jesus Christ to convince us of his love, to reveal his plan, to set everything that's broken straight again. Are you paying attention to the divine persuader this morning? He's encouraging you to keep the faith, to grow a faith that endures and doesn't give up. And I'm persuaded that the great persuader will accomplish all that he's promised for you and for me in his time and according to his purposes when we persevere through trials and hang on to our great hope of all hopes, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. He is our hope. We put our hope in him this morning. I pray for anybody that needs hope that they would remember all that Jesus suffered so that they could know the depth of his love and the promise that he'll never leave is so faithful and is so true. And I ask God that you'll just pour your Holy Spirit over each person, that you'll give them your peace, that you'd help us all, God, to have the faith that endures, the faith of the heroes of the faith, and help us, God, to honor you and glorify you throughout everything that we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.